Betray Me Not is a 3-book miniseries. This book is dedicated to all women who are in the dating realm. Pay close attention to initial signs in a relationship before falling in love. If you take the time out to become friends first, you will discover whether you want to be in a lasting, meaningful relationship or continue with the platonic friendship. The telltale signs are always there from the beginning of a courtship. Listen to your heart first, because once someone has your heart, your soul will eventually follow. This is a story about a young college student who falls in love with a high-value man, older man who happens to be a physician. Although her mother and best friend disapprove of the relationship because of the age difference, Marianne Mantle ignores their criticisms. His distinguished look, wealth, intellect, and talents instantly intrigue her. Because of the need for love and affection, she's overwhelmed with the possibility of spending the rest of her life with him. Unfortunately, because of his love for other women and her unexpected illness, her fairy tale story comes to a tragic ending. You can purchase Betray Me Not 3-book miniseries at www.betraymenot.com or PayPal at betraymenotseries@yahoo.com for $15. Shipping is free. And because these are print-on-demand books, please allow at least 15 days for delivery. This book is a work of fiction. The people, places, and incidents are products of the author's imagination. Any resemblance or actual events related to this book or characters are entirely coincidental. Hey everybody, this is Geneva of Geneva's Closet Talk Show. Please make sure you like and share this video and subscribe to Geneva's Closet if you haven't already done so right here on YouTube. And you can follow me on Facebook at what? At Geneva's Closet. And you can email me at genevascloset22@gmail.com. Now, let's get into the news. When the sun rose the next morning, breakfast was already on the table when Marianne got out of the bed. When she entered into the dining room, Leon immediately hung up the phone. "Who are you talking to?" she asked as she sat down at the table. I was just checking my voicemail to see if I had any emergency calls," Marianne responded. "I guess a doctor's work is never done." "You are right about that," he said. "I didn't go to medical school for 10 years just to sit on my ass. If I want to continue being successful, then I must render the service that I am paid to do. And may I add, little lady, I do a good job at it too." Marianne interrupted. "You don't have to convince me of that. I'll be the first to tell you I'm very satisfied with the service that you give me." She leaned over and kissed him. "Who taught you how to cook?" she asked. "My mother did many years ago. God rest her soul," he responded. Marianne asked, "How long has it been since she passed away?" "It has been 5 years to be exact. She was my mentor, my guiding light. She is the one who told me since I was a little boy that I was destined to be a doctor, and she made sure I had all the right tools to succeed. I was introduced to positive, professional male role models in our community since I didn't have a father to steer me in the right direction. They divorced when I was young, so I never really knew him, but that didn't stop me from building on my mother's hopes and dreams. She did everything possible to see that I received a good education, even if it meant working 2 jobs. Every opportunity she had, she was spending with me going over my academic studies throughout my school years. As a matter of fact, she was at my school so much the other kids thought she was one of the faculty members," he laughed. Marianne laughed with him. "It sounds like you had a great mom," he replied. "She was one of the greatest people I've had the pleasure of getting to know, and I'll never forget her. At least she was fortunate enough to live to see her dream come true because of her drive for me to succeed. I made sure she never wanted for anything. She died a very happy woman." Marianne leaned over to kiss him again. "Maybe that's where you get your generosity from. It appears to me that your mother was a giving person." Dr. Collins chuckled. "She gave of her time and had a great love for people. I hope she is getting all of that back, wherever she may be." Marianne looked at him in a sad kind of way. "Do you believe in God?" "Of course I do. I'm a devout Christian," he said. then your mother is in a better place, she continued. We're living in the last days here on earth, and that can really destroy a person's faith. You constantly have to be on guard trying to defeat the enemy. I try to live every day as if it is my last day, but sometimes life isn't fair when you have to deal with so many issues like drugs, poverty, inadequate health care, and the killing of our youth. Our nation is in growth and constant wars, hatred, and racism. With my generation, it's so much confusion sometimes I don't know which way to turn to for guidance, he interrupted. I can imagine young people of your age forced to face so many issues today that I didn't have to deal with as a young kid growing up. What about your family? Do you have their support for guidance? We have been seeing each other for weeks now and I don't know anything about them. Marianne paused. That's because it's not much to tell. He looked directly in her eyes, saying, you lived on this earth for 21 years. You must have something to say about them. She huffed. My mother raised my brother and me alone. We had to struggle in every aspect of our lives. My mother was just the opposite of yours. She was never home. We practically had to raise ourselves. It was my desire and dream to have something better out of life. I wasn't encouraged to strive harder to achieve goals, Dr. Collins interrupted. However, your mother brought you up to be a very well-groomed young lady, and that's a lot of determination.
Marianne agreed. I suppose subconsciously she had something to do with it. I've always regretted that we didn't have enough time together growing up. He reached out to her. Maybe it was because she was a single parent. She had to do whatever it took to make sure you guys had the necessary fundamentals in life. Marianne held on to his every word. She cherished the fact that he was so sensitive to her needs. I suppose it all would have been different if she would have just spent time talking to us, letting us know about her struggles to raise two kids alone. I just wanted her to make us feel loved and wanted instead of a burden. Dr. Collins pulled her tangled hair away from her eyes and asked Marianne, have you actually sat down to tell her how you feel? No, she exclaimed. I can't even talk to her without eventually having an argument about something. So in order for me to keep as much peace between us as possible, I just keep my mouth shut when it comes to revealing my feelings. Dr. Collins asked, what about your brother? What kind of relationship does your mother have with him? Marianne couldn't wait to vent about her little brother, Eric, although she didn't spend much time with us. He has always been her favorite. You know the old saying, that's mama's baby boy. Well, he is just that, a spoiled little brat who manipulates her at every opportunity he gets. Maybe that's his way of paying her back. He tried to get Marianne to be positive about her situation. Usually, young people don't give their parents the credit they deserve for rearing kids in today's society. Don't wait until it's too late to give your mother the accolade she deserves. It's usually not until kids' priorities in life change they realize how much credit their parents really do deserve. You have a drive and ambition to go to college without any outside influences. That says a lot about your mother who raised you as a single parent. He picked up a fresh strawberry from the bowl on the table and put it into her mouth. By the way, since we are on the subject of motherly love, are you going to introduce me to her? Marianne hesitated. She opened her mouth to answer when he interrupted. I would understand if you feel it's not an appropriate time now. Marianne answered, no, it's not that. I just never thought about it. I guess I wasn't sure about our relationship. He interrupted. Now that you are, I would love to meet your mother so I can see where her daughter gets her good looks. Marianne felt a knot in her stomach. Her mother had no idea she was dating a man old enough to be her father or maybe even her grandfather. She started wondering about the expression on her mom's face. What exactly would she say once they met? Not to mention how her brother would accept the announcement. She looked over at him from across the table. How about meeting them next week? Well, it's really no rush, he said. I can wait until you feel more comfortable about the relationship. Marianne sighed. Don't be silly. I'll arrange it with her. Now, there's one thing she is really good at, and that's cooking. What is your favorite cuisine? I'll have her make it for you. He smiled. Since you put it that way, I love Italian. Any Italian dish is fine with me, Marianne said, smiling back as she sipped on her cup of coffee. Then it is set. Dinner next week at my mom's house. They wrapped up with breakfast and headed back into the city. After their arrival, Marianne picked up her car from Leon's and drove home. Dr. Collins went inside the condo to make some phone calls. He called his wife to let her know he had just made it back in town from a business trip and he was on his way home. Next, he called Janice to apologize for his unfaithfulness. As they discussed where their relationship stood, he pleaded with her to give him another chance. He told Janice that Marianne was an old girlfriend who just happened to be in town, and one thing led to another. As they argued back and forth, she eventually gave in and forgave him. As soon as Marianne arrived home, she picked up the phone and called her mother. "Hi, Mom," Marianne cried, her voice filled with obvious excitement. "I was wondering if you want me to come over for dinner next week?" Jean answered. "What are you so excited about? You're welcome to come over for dinner anytime." Marianne lowered her voice. I kind of had a guest in mind to bring." "Don't tell me Christine," Jean said with disappointment. "No, it's not Christine," Jean sighed with relief. "Is this someone you're dating now?" Marianne answered, "Yes, he is someone I have been dating for a few weeks now. I want you and Eric to meet him." Jean huffed. "A few weeks? Why did you wait so long to ask us to meet him?" Marianne explained. "I just didn't know what kind of relationship we had until now. Since it's becoming more serious, I thought I'd have him meet the rest of the family." "Are we talking marriage?" shouted Jean. Marianne said, "For heaven's sake, Mom, I have only been dating Leon for 6 weeks. I don't think it's that serious, but we are committed to each other." Her mother couldn't wait to hear more. "Tell me all the details before I meet him. How old is he? Did you meet him at school?" her mother inquired. She answered, "I don't want to spoil the conversation before dinner, so you'll have to wait until then to get the details." Jean sounded relieved. "Whew, it's about time you started planning for your future with someone. The older you get, the harder it is to find a decent young man these days." "Sure, Mom," she said. "By the way, can you make some of those famous Italian spaghetti and meatballs?" Jean said, "No problem, sweetie. I can also break out the bottle of red wine I have been saving since your father and I separated years ago." "Okay," said Marianne. "We will be over Saturday at 6 o'clock. Marianne picked up the phone and called Christine. She always looks up to Christine for advice because she's openly outspoken. Christine picked up the phone after it rang twice. "Hi, Christine. It's me, Marianne." "What's up, girl? I'm trying to decide which dress I'm going to wear to the concert. Gordon and I can get you an extra ticket if you want to go with us," Marianne said. "No, you guys go ahead and have fun without me. I really need this time to study. I just wanted to let you know that Leon is finally going to meet my mom next Saturday. We're having dinner with her and Eric." Christine paused. "You're what? Have you lost your mind? It's one thing dating this guy who is more than twice your age, but to introduce him to your mom? She will have a heart attack just knowing he is old enough to be your daddy." "Honey, it is not that much money in the world to take this guy serious. I never thought you would ever get this serious about him. What are you thinking? Besides, think about your mom and how she gonna feel about this." Marianne shouted, "I already know what she is going to think about my relationship with him. That's why I called you to get your opinion." Marianne told Christine how she honestly cared about Leon and how his feelings for her were genuinely the same. She continued, "I really appreciate your opinion about my feelings for Leon, but now it's time for Mom to formulate her own opinion. She may like him." Christine laughed. "Wishful thinking. Knowing your mama, I would love to be a fly on the wall when she do meet him." Then she said jokingly, "Is it okay if I meet you guys at your mother's for dinner, just in case you need a referee?" Marianne wasn't at all amused with the sarcastic remarks. She began to ease her way off the phone with Christine before all the negative talk led her to just canceling dinner plans altogether. After hanging up with her, Marianne got into the shower. She began thinking about next Saturday, asking herself, how would Mom act towards Leon? Maybe I should just forewarn her so it won't be a big shock concerning his age. What is Eric going to think? He'll probably just come right out and say, "What's up, Pops? This is going to be a disaster. I'm calling the whole thing off. Christine was right. What am I thinking? He is so much older. Maybe we don't have so much as common as I thought we did. She began doubting her feelings for Leon. Then Marianne stepped out of the shower and looked in the mirror. She stared at herself, thinking about her own relationship with her father, which wasn't a pleasant picture since he was never around. She asked herself, am I doing this to get back at Dad? Or do I really love Leon? Tears began rolling down her face as she tried to control them. She gathered her thoughts about her true feelings for Leon. The wonderful times they shared together, his laughter, his knowledge, his spontaneity, his generosity. These were all the things she admired about him. She screamed out at the mirror in front of her, why does age have to interfere with two people loving each other? She continued to sob until she heard the phone ring. Wiping her nose, she walked into the bedroom to pick it up. Hello? Hi, baby, it's me, Leon. I just wanted to hear your beautiful voice. But it doesn't sound like you're in the mood for talking. Is something wrong? No, everything is fine, honey. I was just watching an old movie on television. You go ahead and finish your movie. I have some work to do anyway. We can talk tomorrow, he said. She smiled. I'm glad you called. I love you very much. Dr. Collins couldn't get the words out of his mouth to say I love you back. He responded, okay, sweetheart, and hung up. Marianne and Leon spoke candidly over the phone until Saturday evening. He picked her up at 5:30 sharp. While driving over to Mrs. Mantle's, he spoke anxiously about meeting her family. Marianne was somewhat preoccupied. An analytical Dr. Collins noticed Marianne wasn't excited about this trip. He asked, are you all right? She nodded her head to say yes. He responded, I don't have to meet your mother if you're not ready for this. No, she said. I really want you to meet her. I'm just preoccupied about my exam in Professor Miller's class. He asked, are you sure it's not because you are having second thoughts about me and this whole idea of meeting your mother? I am very comfortable with you, Marianne, and it doesn't matter how old you are or how old I am. Age is just a number. The bottom line is that we both enjoy being with one another, and we have feelings deep down inside that no one can change, not even your mother. Marianne looked at him and hung on to his every word as if he recited the Ten Commandments. She let out a deep sigh and confessed her apprehension about having dinner with her mother. Dr. Collins smiled. I'm glad you were able to tell me the truth. Just relax and let me do most of the talking. Your mother and I should have a lot in common. Besides, we come from the same era, he said jokingly. Driving through the scenic path of the country, they finally arrived. As they drove into Jean's driveway, she and Eric were already out on the porch waiting for their arrival. Dr. Collins stepped out of his Mercedes-Benz and walked over to the passenger side of the car to open the door for Marianne. They began walking towards Jean when she shouted out, "You should have told me your friend's father was coming too." Dr. Collins walked closer to Jean, extending his hand out to greet her. I'm not her friend's father. I am the friend that your daughter invited over for dinner. My name is Leon Collins. It's a pleasure to finally meet you. Eric took one look over at Leon's car and said, you really have a bad car, dude? Marianne put on a happy face as she asked her mother, what did you cook for dinner? Jean turned around to face Leon. Can you excuse us for a moment while I check on dinner? My son Eric can entertain you in the living room while you wait. Leon extended his hand out to shake Eric's hand as he escorted him into the house. Jean and Marianne swiftly walked into the kitchen. Marianne stood near the hot stove. I know what you must be thinking, Mom, but age should not matter if I love him. Jean put both hands on her hips and said, love him? You don't know the first thing about love at 21. How old is he? He must be at least 50. Now I can understand how you could afford that new dress from Saks. And your trip to New York? You lied to me about going with Christine. Everything is becoming clear to me now. How in the hell can you sleep with a man that's old enough to be your father? Are you looking for a father figure to replace the one you already have? Is that what this is all about? Please enlighten me as to why you are with this old, dirty man, because it damn sure isn't love. Marianne looked as if her world was coming apart. Mama, just because Leon is much older than me, it doesn't mean that we are not compatible. Yes, he's the one who took me to New York and the reason why I could afford to buy you a new dress. But money has nothing to do with my feelings for him. Jean sat down at the kitchen table. She looked up at Marianne. You are so young, baby. You have your whole life ahead of you. One day you will want to be married and have children. Think about your future. It's not love you are feeling right now. This is infatuation. He can give you things we could never afford to give you. He can probably take you places you've never been. Marianne, you are bright and intelligent. With your brains, one day you will be able to do all of those things for yourself. Find someone your own age and grow old together, not apart. Most of all, make sure you really know what love is before using that word so loosely. Marianne replied, Mom, you've never been there for me when I needed you. Now that I have found happiness, you want to ruin it. I am old enough to know when I love someone and when the feelings are mutual. This is a new millennium, Mom, not the 60s. Young women are dating older men, and not just for financial support, but because they are the ones who know how to treat women with dignity and respect. I have every right to express my feelings about someone without having to worry about what the hell others might think. Now, if you don't mind, we came over to have dinner, so I am going to find Leon. Meanwhile, Leon and Eric were watching basketball on the couch. Marianne walked in and invited Leon into the kitchen. Eric asked, did you fix me a plate too? She looked at him and rolled her eyes as she walked back towards the kitchen. They followed behind. Jean finished setting the table. She directed Leon to sit across from Marianne while she and Eric sat at each end of the table. Everyone was tense and uneasy, except for Eric. He just went with the flow of things. Leon opened up about the conversation by acknowledging, I know very little about basketball. I didn't even know who Shaquille O'Neal was until I started watching the game with Eric. He thought Eric was a bright kid with a great outlook on life. He looked over at Eric and asked him what he would like to be when he grows up. Eric answered, I don't know. Maybe I'll be a basketball player like Shaq. Marianne blurted out, they don't have miniature basketball players on the court, just in case you haven't noticed. You need to be realistic and decide what you are going to do with the rest of your life before you end up a bum on the streets. Jean shouted, just because you're fortunate enough to go to college doesn't mean you can talk to your brother like that. He is smart enough to be whatever he wants to be. Marianne argued, maybe so, but is he planning on going to college? Eric shifted the conversation to Leon. You seem to have it all together, my brother, driving the Mercedes Benz and wearing dope jewelry. Tell me what it is that you do for a living. Leon replied, I'm a doctor. Eric leaned towards him and gave him a high five. We got us a doctor in the house. Hey man, you're cool with me. Maybe you can hook me up with a part-time job where you work. I can get on-the-job training and study to be a doctor too. Jean cleared her throat. You will do no such thing, boy. You have too many other things to do after school around this house. She looked over at Leon. So, that's why my daughter is going out with you. He reciprocated and answered by saying, Mrs. Mantle, the reason your daughter is going out with me is because she's an adult. She can choose any man she desires to go out with, and it just happens to be me. Let me assure you that I have the utmost respect for Marianne. She deserves to be happy. Marianne interrupted before her mother began to retaliate. The spaghetti tastes wonderful, Mom. What kind of sauce did you use? Ignoring Marianne, she excused herself from the dinner table to begin clearing up the kitchen. After dinner, Eric slipped a note into Dr. Collins' hands as they prepared to leave. He gave him another high five and told him to call him anytime about any job openings. Marianne hugged her mother before getting into the car. Jean walked back into the house with Eric, mumbling, I just can't put my finger on it, but something isn't right about him. Leon breathed a sigh of relief while driving off. Whew, it's been a hell of an evening. Marianne was embarrassed by her mother's behavior. She assured him her mother would eventually come around to accepting them as an item. Christine was backing out of the driveway when Dr. Collins and Marianne drove up. Excited to see her before she left, Marianne signaled for her to come back. She asked Christine and Gordon if they wanted to accompany them upstairs for drinks. Christine walked up to Leon and introduced herself. Hello, I'm Christine. I think we met before at the store where Marianne and I work. This is my boyfriend, Gordon. He shook Gordon's hand. When they walked inside the apartment, Marianne turned on her stereo before going into the kitchen to get a bottle of wine. After small talk and a lot of laughter, it was obvious the alcohol had its effects on everyone's behavior. The music was blasting as loud as the volume would reach while they danced restlessly into the night. Christine was wild as usual, and Marianne had accepted her behavior as just part of her witty personality. Christine began taking off her blouse as she danced with Gordon. He was encouraging her to take it all off, as if she were in a strip club. Dr. Collins suspected she had a little too much to drink. However, it turned him on. He danced towards Christine as Gordon switched partners. Gordon began coaching Marianne to take off her blouse. "Are you crazy?" she asked. "I'm not going to disgrace myself. Besides, what would Leon think of me?" Dr. Collins yelled, "Go ahead, Marianne. No one is here except us. I'm not going to let anything happen to you." Marianne responded, "Are you serious?" She was feeling lightheaded from the alcohol. Carefully listening to the words of the song playing on the stereo, she noticed her favorite slow jam by Barry White was playing. She couldn't help but get into the groove of the song. She started dancing over to Leon. He began undressing her while whispering, "You can trust me." As he began grinding his body against hers, she tried keeping her composure by not letting the alcohol affect her judgment. Dr. Collins continued being aggressive enough to unbutton her shirt as he kissed her. Marianne adventurously began kissing him back. Leon slowly pulled down her bra straps. It dropped to the floor. She felt alive and sexier than ever. She assisted Leon with peeling off the rest of her clothes. Looking at her with only bikini panties and high heels really turned him on. She reminded him of the women in the strip clubs that he frequented, except Marianne had a lot more class. Simultaneously, Gordon was taking advantage of getting a free peep show by watching as he made his move on Christine. Marianne motioned Leon to follow her as she danced toward the bedroom. Her head began spinning out of control as they entered her room. He picked her up and laid her on top of the bed. As she laid in bed intoxicated, he began stroking his fingers between her thighs as his wet tongue brushed against her nipples. She began moaning for more. He moved his tongue down further, licking her navel. He came to the edge of the bed and spread her legs apart as if she was being examined. He slid his tongue down further. He enjoyed giving her oral sex as much as she enjoyed reciprocating it. Marianne moaned with excitement as she came. The sensational touch of his hands always turned her on. She began to lose herself deep in thought. She imagined the two of them lost on an island. As he penetrated her vagina with his penis, she grew deeper into his fantasy. The excitement of her thoughts gave her multiple orgasms. She began screaming out loud when Leon yelled, "Talk to me, dirty baby." However, Marianne had blacked out from the alcohol. When he realized she fell asleep, he jumped out of bed to get dressed. Walking through the living room, he can see Gordon and Christine sleeping on the sofa with their clothes lying on the floor. Trying not to disturb them, he quietly walked around the sofa and out of the front door. The next morning, Marianne woke up with a hangover. As she drove to work, she couldn't remember anything that occurred the night before. She called Leon from her cell phone, but didn't get an answer. After failing to reach him all day, she became concerned. She tried to remember what could have happened to make him so distant. She began to feel sick to her stomach when she arrived at work. She shuffled through the paperwork to balance her inventory, but couldn't concentrate on doing her work effectively. After making numerous mistakes in her general ledger, she decided to go home early. Once at home, she tried calling Leon again. Susan answered the phone and recognized Marianne's voice. "Hi, Miss Mantle. Can I assist you? Dr. Collins is with the patient right now. I'll be glad to take a message or make an appointment for you," Marianne replied. "No, that's okay. I can call him back later." Nurse Susan asks, "Are you still having abdominal pains?" "No, I'm actually fine right now. I just had a couple of questions I needed to ask Dr. Collins." The nurse became concerned. "Well, why don't you ask me? I'm sure I can help you if it's a medical question." Marianne replied, "It's really personal. I think I will wait to call him back." Before hanging up, Marianne said, "Wait, Actually, you can have him call me at home. He has the number. As Susan was reaching for a piece of paper, she replied, Honey, you better let me write down your number due to the overwhelming calls Dr. Collins receives daily. Besides, he will want to look at your chart before speaking with you on the phone. Really, it won't be necessary to write down my number. He has it memorized, Marianne said as she slammed down the phone. The following morning, Marianne went to work. Christine noticed her leaving earlier the day before, so she walked over to see if everything was all right. Girl, that doctor friend of yours is handsome. Did you see that suit he had on? That must have cost him $1,000. You have to fix me up with one of his cronies. He is loaded with benefits. Come to think of it, he doesn't look bad either. Tell me, girl, how is he in bed? Marianne began to burst in tears when the phone rang. Leon, it's you? She sighed. Christine walked closer to the phone to listen. Dr. Collins lowered his already deep voice. Hi, sweetie. I just received the message that you called several times. Marianne shouted, Why haven't you called me? He answered, I just got tied up doing paperwork. I really needed some R&R after a long day of work, so I turned off my ringer when I arrived home. I did squeeze in time to think about you. I had a great time Saturday night. Marianne's voice melted. I enjoyed being with you just as much. When can we see each other again? Sweetheart. I will be working late this week, and I must prepare to give a presentation for an upcoming convention. I'm afraid I won't have time to spend with you until next week. I apologize, but it comes with the territory. Marianne's smile soon faded. I understand. If you can't get some time away from work, at least call me. Yes, of course. I'll call you every day. I just need some space to prepare myself. I hope you can understand, sweetheart. Marianne's heart began to melt. Sure, I understand. Just think about me as often as you can. I'll wait until next week to see you. After hanging up with Leon, Christine looked at Marianne. Girl, do you believe he needs all that time to prepare for a presentation? Marianne replied. He's a doctor, for heaven's sake. Yes, I believe him. I trust him. Christine looked at Marianne and said, Don't put your trust in anyone but God. Leon is a man, and a rich one at that. Marianne responded angrily. You know, Christine, you should really learn to trust men. They are not all dogs. Just because you have had a string of bad luck with men, you should not put all of them in the same category. Christine added, Marianne, how could you be so naive? I just don't want to see you get hurt. You don't deserve it. Marianne shouted, Who said I'm gonna get hurt? For heaven's sake, Christine, you sound like my mother. Well, maybe I do. It's only because I've been there too many times. I'm more aware of the games men play than you are. Why don't you go out with us tonight? I'm going to Sylvia's with Reginald. Marianne declined her offer. Later that night, Marianne began feeling ill again. She took a warm shower and slowly submerged herself into bed. She noticed she began bleeding again. Her mother called to see if she was coming over for dinner. As she answered the phone, her tone of voice began to drag as if she had overdosed. Marianne, are you okay? Her mother asked. I'm not sure, Mom. These pains are getting worse, and I feel nauseated and bloated. Jean suggested she take 2 aspirin and get some rest. Marianne, you need to go back to the doctor and have him take a look at your symptoms. It's not normal to bleed between periods. Look at how under the weather you have been lately. Every time I look around, you're sick. I'm going to recommend that you go to my gynecologist tomorrow morning. I'll call his office first thing in the morning to see if he can get you in on an emergency basis. Marianne mumbled, Okay, Mom, whatever. I'm going to sleep now. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Meanwhile, Christine and Reginald arrived at Sylvia's and talked while they waited for their table. The waiter finally arrived and asked if they wanted smoking or non-smoking accommodations. Reginald replied, non-smoking. He escorted them over to a booth and handed them a menu. The restaurant was dark and romantic. Once settled in their booth, they ordered their drinks. When the waiter walked away, Reginald began asking Christine questions concerning her whereabouts for the past couple of weeks. He had been trying to ask her out to a concert. Before she could open her mouth, the waiter brought their drinks to the table. Changing the subject, Christine asked, What are you ordering for dinner tonight? Reginald held her hand. I have to take a look at the menu. Do you want me to order for you? Christine nodded. Certainly, go ahead and surprise me while I go to the ladies' room. Christine excused herself from the table to avoid answering Reginald's questions concerning her absence over the weekend. He looked at the waiter and said, We'll both have the special. Could you bring me a bottle of Zinfandel? Sure, sir. It'll be right up. Just give us about 15 minutes on the special. As she was headed to the ladies' room, she noticed all the beautiful young people inside. Christine likes attention, so she checked out the guys in the restaurant to see if they were noticing her walking by. She also checked out the women's fashion as they passed by, hoping she had on the sexiest outfit. Looking around the room, she noticed this couple in the booth kissing. Christine paused and noticed it was Dr. Collins. He was having dinner with Janice. She was in shock to see him with another woman when he told Marianne earlier that he had to prepare for a lecture. When the waiter approached their table, Leon pulled out his wallet to pay for the bill. He noticed Christine looking right at him, his eyes locked into hers. He was surprised to see her standing there watching them. Christine said, "Now he knows I am hip to his little game he's been playing on Marianne." Janice looked over at Leon. She noticed him watching Christine. "Do you know her?" "No, sweetheart, I don't think so. But she does look kind of like one of my patients," he said. "Let's get out of here." Christine proceeded to the ladies' room. She gazed at herself in the mirror, wondering what to tell Marianne. "I can't believe what I just saw. He told Marianne he was working on a presentation for a lecture this week, and he is out with another woman kissing all over her. I knew it was something about him that gave me the chills. He had the nerve to look at me as if he doesn't even know me. He didn't even acknowledge I was staring right at him. I should go to his table and slap the shit out of him and then pull the motherfucking weave this bitch is wearing straight out of her head. He has the nerve not to acknowledge me after we were practically spent the fucking night together." Christine burst out of the ladies' room to confront him about lying to Marianne. However, they had already left the restaurant. Instead, she walked back over to the table. "What took you so long?" asked Reginald. "I ordered a bottle of wine about 15 minutes ago. I was hoping it would be gone by now so we can go back to my place and get our freak on." He began stroking her shoulder, but Christine had too much on her mind. "I'm not hungry. I just want to go home," she said. Reginald shouted, "What's wrong with you, girl? I picked you up to bring you to a nice restaurant, buy a bottle of wine, and all you can think about is leaving? I was hoping we can go back to my place and listen to some music or something." Christine jumped out of the booth. "If you don't take me back home right now, I'll call me a fucking cab. Now, which one is it gonna be?" Reginald looked at her and said, "Do you want to use my cell phone?" As other patrons in the proximity noticed the commotion, Christine picked up her glass of wine and poured it in his lap and walked out. The next day, Marianne's pains worsened. She called Leon's office, but he wasn't in. Then she called his home, but still no answer. She started to call Christine at work to ask her to stop by her apartment later, but hesitated and called her mother instead. Jean came over right away. Before getting to Marianne's apartment, she stopped by the drugstore to pick up some extra strength Midol. As she handed Marianne a glass of water, she could see the puffiness under her eyes. "Marianne, why don't you go to my doctor to see what is causing you all this pain?" Marianne coughed. "It's just cramps, Mom. I'll be fine in a couple of days." Jean sighed. "What about the spotting in between your periods? That's not normal. Let's just make an appointment to make sure that is all okay." Jean contacted her doctor immediately. She explained that it was an emergency and her daughter needed to see Dr. Harrison right away. The receptionist responded, "We have a cancellation at 3:00. Can you bring her in then?" Jean assured her that she would be there. She convinced Marianne to see Dr. Harrison at once, and she agreed. When they arrived at the doctor's office, Marianne became nauseated and began vomiting. Dr. Harrison came out in an instant and brought her back to his examination room. She lay down on the table with her legs up. A nurse brought in her chart and a pen just in case she started to vomit again. Dr. Harrison began asking her questions. "Marianne, can you answer any questions right now?" Marianne looked at her mother, then back at the doctor. "Yeah, sure." He asked, "Do you think that you could be pregnant?" Her mother turned her head in the opposite direction. Just thinking about the idea made her sick. Marianne looked him in his eyes and answered, "No way. I notice in your chart you have had irregular bleeding for about 6 months. Have you noticed any blood coming from your rectum or urine?" "No," she said. The doctor continued, "How many days do your menstrual last?" Marianne answered, "About 10 to 12 days. Shocked by her answer, he asked, "How many pads are you using during your cycle?" Marianne appeared annoyed by his questioning. "Well, the first 3 days are usually heavy. I need to change pads every couple of hours, roughly around 30 pads. Would you consider that excessive bleeding?" asked Dr. Harrison. "Yes, but I have learned to live with it," he responded. Have you had any sexual transmitted diseases within the past year? No, said Marianne. Any abortions, he asked. No, she added. He continued, are there any health problems? No, she shouted. Dr. Harrison continued, Marianne, how long and how often have you been spotting in between periods? She answered, Dr. Harrison, as I stated before, I've been spotting around 6 months or so. The spotting comes and goes. He interrupted, again, would you consider that to be normal? She responded, I don't know. That's the reason I went to see a doctor a few months ago to have a pap smear. Dr. Harrison became more concerned about her answers. Did you tell the doctor about these exact symptoms then?
Yes, she said. He said my pap smear came out fine.
Really? He asked. Did he run any tests to double check?
No, Marianne said. Dr. Harrison asked, when was the last date of your pap smear? She answered, December 15th. Dr. Harrison asked, who was your doctor?
Marianne gave him the doctor's name. Jean looked at Marianne angrily, shaking her head. I know Dr. Collins very well, said Dr. Harrison, as he continued asking questions. Marianne, have you had any weight gained or lost within the past 6 months? Marianne answered, I lost 20 pounds. How has your appetite been lately, he asked. Marianne responded, I don't eat very much. Dr. Harrison continued, would you say that your urinating has increased? She thought for a moment. I do go to the bathroom more than I have in the past. Dr. Harrison called in the nurse to do a pelvic examination. Mrs. Mantle, you would have to leave the room now. The nurse came in with the gown and asked Marianne to change into it. Marianne was feeling so uncomfortable that she asked the nurse to assist her. When the doctor came back into the examination room, she needed questions answered about her symptoms. So she began asking him questions. Dr. Harrison, in your opinion, what could be causing this? Dr. Harrison was already concerned with her answers earlier, but did not want to give any false alarm that something serious could be wrong. It could be caused by a number of things, such as stress, low thyroid function, STD, ulcer, and the list goes on. Now lay back so I could take a look. Hopefully we can find some answers to your questions. As he examined her, he noticed an abdominal mass right away, but he did not want to alarm Marianne until he ran more tests. After completing the pelvic exam, he needed to have x-rays done for further testing. Dr. Harrison asked if he could have the x-rays done immediately. Why, she asked, is something wrong? He hesitated. We won't be able to tell until we have you take a blood and urine test. We are also going to need you to take an abdominal CT scan and an MRI. What are we checking for? She frightfully asked. It was the hardest part of Dr. Harrison's job, giving bad news. It's possible you may have ovarian cancer, he replied. Marianne screamed, ovarian cancer? I want my mother in here right now. Dr. Harrison left the room to locate Mrs. Mantle. Marianne slumped back on the examination table and began to sob nervously. The nurse walked in to comfort her. Jean opened the door and ran over to her daughter. They both cried as they held each other. The nurse held her head down and began to weep as she walked out of the room. Dr. Harrison came in with an extra box of tissue. Jean looked up at him shouting, how could this have happened? Dr. Harrison tried to hold back the tears and hissed. As he tried to compose himself, he spoke in a cracked voice. This disease can affect a lot of women. It does not discriminate because of age. We must run more tests to even be sure it's ovarian cancer. I'll have you scheduled within the next hour at the hospital next door. It's important that we find out right away if indeed it is cancer. Marianne gathered her things as they proceeded to walk next door to Mercy Hospital. They signed in and sat down. Jean asked her daughter why nothing was detected when she had her last pap smear at Leon's office. Marianne started to reminisce about the first day she came to see Dr. Collins. Then she remembered that he did not fully complete the examination because he was too busy flirting with her. The more she thought about it, the angrier she became. Her mother held her tightly as she began crying. Jean began wiping away her tears. We can talk about this later. Everything is going to be okay. The technician specialist came out to get Marianne so she can take some x-rays. When she entered into the room, it was cold and dark. She can see the long donut-shaped machine. She began to shiver as chill bumps emerged from out of nowhere. The technician asked her to undress. After undressing, Marianne lay down on the table. All she could think about was cancer. How long have I had it?
Could it have been detected when I had the pap smear at Leon's office? After the tests were over, they were told the x-rays would be sent to Dr. Harrison's office for review. The lab technician sadly looked at Marianne and said, "Your doctor will be contacting you within a couple of days with the results." After leaving the hospital, Jean went over to the apartment to look after Marianne. She tried endlessly to assure her daughter that everything was going to be fine. She got up to fix her a cup of soup when the phone rang. Jean answered, "Hello? Hi, this is Leon Collins. I'm calling for Marianne. Did I get the right number?" Jean snapped, "Marianne is not taking any calls right now. She is resting." Leon frowned, "Then I'd like to leave a message for her. Please have her call me back when she wakes up." Jean replied, "That won't be necessary," and hung up the telephone. Marianne walked into the kitchen. "Who was that on the phone?" Her mother said, "It was the wrong number." Marianne picked up the phone. "Who are you calling?" asked Jean. Marianne said, "I'm calling Christine." Jean sighed with relief. After numerous rings, Christine finally answered the phone. Marianne mumbled, "Hey, Christine, it's me. I just wanted to know if you can come over after work. You sound like you're not feeling well. Do you want me to bring you something?" she asked. Marianne replied, "No, just you." Christine told her she'll be over at 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, Leon sat in his chair after hanging up the phone with Mrs. Mantle. He thought about what happened at Sylvia's the other night. He thought out loud, "I can gather Christine has already spoken with her about seeing me out with someone else." Then he thought he'd call Marianne back with an explanation. Eventually, she would have found out anyway. Christine was prompt, arriving right at 6 o'clock as she stated. Jean answered the door. She knew Mrs. Mantle disapproved of her lifestyle, so she always felt uncomfortable around her. Jean politely invited Christine in. "Hi, Christine. Marianne could really use a friend right now." Christine gave her a strange look as if she had split personalities. "Where is Marianne?" "She is in the bedroom. Why don't you go see her?" Christine walked into the room and closed the door behind her. "Girl, you look like someone just hit you over the head with a sledgehammer. How do you feel?" Marianne replied, "Thank you for making me feel a whole lot better now." "In case you didn't get it, I was being sarcastic," said Christine. "Well, I'm not in the mood for jokes, Christine. I just came from my mom's doctor. He thinks I may have cancer." "Cancer?" Marianne replied, "Yes. He had me take some x-rays to double check. I should find out the results within a couple of days." "Oh my God, I'm sorry. I had no idea," said Christine. "What are we going to do if the results come back positive?" Marianne began to sob. "Just pray," Christine asked. "Have you told Leon yet?" She nodded. "No, I haven't talked to him because he hasn't called." Christine put her arms around her. She thought about telling Marianne about the incident at Sylvia's, but with the bad news, she didn't think it would be an appropriate time to tell the truth. A few days later, Dr. Harrison contacted Marianne. He wanted to know if she and her mother could come to his office. Upon arriving to the clinic, she smiled at the clerk and sat down. Moments later, her name was called and the nurse escorted them into Dr. Harrison's office. Within minutes, Dr. Harrison walked in and shut the door behind him. Judging from the dark circles around his eyes, he apparently hadn't slept in days. He sat across from them and opened the large envelopes on his desk. He pulled out Marianne's x-rays and cleared his throat before giving the results. As he pointed to the x-rays, he began to speak slowly. "This illustration of the CT scan shows a massive amount of free abdominal fluid. This one shows ovarian cancer that has spread to the serous membrane lining the abdominal cavity." Marianne fell into her mother's arms and began to cry hysterically. Looking down at her daughter, Jean asked Dr. Harrison, "So what does all of this mean?" The doctor turned away from the x-rays. "It means that your daughter has ovarian cancer and it has spread. Unfortunately, ovarian cancer is rarely diagnosed until it is at an advanced stage. Most of the time by then, the outcome is not good. If it were diagnosed earlier, the survival rate is only 35 to 38%. Judging from the x-rays, the spread of the mass has only given her about 6 months to live." Marianne began screaming, "No, no, no! This can't be happening to me! What have I done to deserve this? Why me? Why me? Am I too young to die? My life is just beginning. The nurse ran back into Dr. Harrison's office. Is there anything I could do? Dr. Harrison said, please, just let me have a moment with the family in private. The nurse turned around and walked out of the door. Dr. Harrison continued to talk as he went over to Marianne and stroked the back of her head. He looked at Mrs. Mantle, who was in tears, and said, there are going to be stressful days ahead for her. I suggest she join a support group with other young women who are facing the same challenges. I will give you someone to contact before leaving my office. Jean tried to compose herself so she could ask more questions. What could have caused this, doctor? Dr. Harrison answered, what causes ovarian cancer is unknown, but it happens to be the fifth leading cause of death in women with cancer. Malignant tumors of ovaries develop quickly, and in Marianne's case, it involves both ovaries. These cells can frequently land on the uterus, bladder, or bowel and develop new tumors. Therefore, we will need to run more tests, which include a transvaginal ultrasound, HCG, and other x-rays to check other organs. In addition, it will be imperative that she starts chemotherapy right away. If her symptoms were diagnosed earlier, she would probably have a better chance of survival. Jean cried out, for heaven's sakes, doctor, she is a young girl. Can surgery save her? He moved over closer to Marianne to comfort her. I wish it could. Before leaving the clinic, Dr. Harrison gave out many pamphlets explaining the disease and the road ahead. He gave her a piece of paper with prescriptions for medication to ease the pain and scheduled her for a follow-up test and x-rays. Marianne, in disbelief, had to be escorted out of the clinic. Upon arriving home, she went straight to her bedroom and lay down. Her mother sat on the sofa, still in the state of shock. She said, this can't be happening to my daughter. The phone rang. Mrs. Mantle, this is Christine. Can I speak to Marianne? She is asleep, Christine, but I think she would want you to come over later if possible. Christine asked, did she go to the doctor today? How is she? Not good, Jean replied. Christine responded, I'll be right over. Christine showed up as promised. Jean opened the door to embrace her. She motioned for her to sit on the sofa. It was obvious Jean had been crying. I'll get you something to drink. Do you want coffee or soda? Christine answered, a soda would be fine. Jean walked into the kitchen to put the coffee pot on the stove and grabbed the soda. While pouring the soda into a glass, she began to break down and start crying. Christine walked over to comfort her. So I guess the test came back positive? Jean responded, yes. The doctor gave her 6 months to live. 6 months? Christine yelled. How could this be? She ran to Marianne's bedroom. She stood in the doorway weeping while she watched her sleep. Jean walked behind Christine to move her from the doorway. She needs to rest. The doctor has given her some medication to ease the pain and help her sleep. As they walked back towards the sofa, Jean turned towards her. Christine, I know there have been times when we had our differences, but Marianne and I are both going to need you as a crutch. You are the best friend, and it means a lot to know that you are here for her. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me for the way I have treated you. Christine responded, right now, we have more important things to worry about, Mrs. Mantle. I will always be here for Marianne, despite our disposition. Christine walked towards the door. Jean yelled, Christine, don't go. I need to ask you a few questions about Leon. Christine nodded her head. Sure, what is it? Do you recall exactly what date it was when Marianne started dating him? She started going out with him shortly after she met him at the clinic. Why do you want to know? Christine asked. Jean responded, she told Dr. Harrison the reason she went to see Leon is because she was experiencing the same symptoms and he gave her a pap smear. Now, if she received the complete exam, it would have come back abnormal if she was in the early stages of ovarian cancer. In addition, why wouldn't he give her an x-ray or ultrasound if she was complaining about abdominal pain and bleeding? Something just doesn't add up. Christine agreed with her. As they continued discussing Marianne's relationship with Dr. Collins, Marianne walked into the living room. I thought I heard your voice, Christine. I assume Mom gave you my test results. Christine looked over at Mrs. Mantle. Yes, she did. I want you to know I'll be here for you whenever you need me. Marianne sat in the lounge chair and wrapped in a blanket. Her hair was tangled as if she didn't care about her appearance or life anymore. She sighed. He gave me 6 months to live, you know. If you only had 6 months to live, what would you do, Christine? Christine looked at Mrs. Mantle as she held her head down. Marianne, don't talk like that. He is just a doctor, not God. You have to keep your faith. Everything is going to be all right. Marianne shouted. Put yourself in my shoes. The doctor told me there was no hope. Not even surgery can cure my cancer. As her voice grew louder, Christine became very concerned about Marianne's state of mind. Marianne continued, all I ever wanted out of life was an education, a good husband, and a few kids. Instead, all I received out of life is one headache after another one. Now that I think about it, my life has been just one big joke after another. You're born into this world of heartache, suffering, and pain. Then you leave this world the same way. In this world, everyone is out for himself and don't give a damn about anyone else. Maybe I should see this as a blessing instead of a curse. Jean began pleading with her to stop talking nonsense. I taught you better than that. You were raised in a home where we put God first. Somehow God will see you through this. Marianne shouted, God will see me through this? He is the one who put me in this predicament in the first place. Where's God when I need him? What about Proverbs 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. So what about that scripture tells me it's to trust in God? Maybe God feels like this is what's best for me. Jean could clearly see that Marianne was getting upset, so she tried to assure her that God has a plan and purpose for everything. Maybe he was trying to tell you to slow down and smell the roses. Marianne saw that her mother was alluding to her relationship with Dr. Collins. Mom, just say what you're thinking. You probably think that this is an omen from God because I'm seeing Leon, don't you? Jean took a deep breath as Christine looked on. Now that you brought his name up, why didn't he diagnose this disease when you went to see him for the same symptoms? All Marianne could recall is Dr. Collins seducing her in the examination room. She cried out, I don't know why. I don't know. As she broke down in tears, the phone rang. Christine picked up the receiver and walked into the bedroom while Jean comforted Marianne. Hello? A deep voice spoke on the other end. This must be Christine. This is Leon. May I speak to Marianne? Christine shouted. You had the nerve to call her after what you did to her? I suggest you forget the number you dialed and call your whore you were at Sylvia's with instead. By the way, have a fucked up life. Christine hung up the phone. After Marianne was left alone, she took her medication and fell back to sleep. Sometime after midnight, the telephone rang. Marianne answered it. Leon was on the line. He was surprised to hear her voice on the other end. I've tried calling you many times, but your mother and Christine refused to let me talk to you. Marianne chuckled in disbelief. Now, why would they do that? He continued, I guess because your friend Christine saw me out with another woman at Sylvia's and instantly assumed I was fooling around with someone else. I assure you, it was strictly business. I met with one of my account representatives for dinner to discuss some financial matters. Marianne had no idea what he was talking about, but she couldn't wait to get to talk to Christine to get to the bottom of it. Leon, you really caught me at a bad time. I'll call you back later. Honey, please don't let this ruin what we have. You know how much I care about you. Why don't you meet me for dinner tomorrow night so we can discuss this, he pleaded. Marianne inquired, I thought you were tied up studying for your lecture. He replied, I was, but I realized you are much more important. Marianne stated she couldn't meet him for dinner and abruptly hung up the phone. She looked over at the clock. It was 12:45 in the morning. She picked up the phone to call Christine. Gordon answered the phone. Hi, Gordon. It's me. I need to speak to Christine. He yawned. Oh, she is asleep. Can you call her back in the morning? Marianne adjusted her voice to calm down. It's already morning. Wake her up. It's urgent. I need to talk to her now, please. Christine came to the phone. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. Are you all right over there? Marianne replied, yeah, I just need to talk to you about Leon. He just called and said you saw him at Sylvia's with some woman. If you were my friend, why didn't you tell me? Christine sat up in the bed. I didn't want to see you in any more pain than you were already in. I've always told you that you deserve better. Well, are you going to tell me what happened or should I guess? Marianne asked. Christine walked to the bathroom and lowered her voice so she can speak to her privately. Marianne, you don't have to get so emotional over him. He's not worth it. Let's just forget about it. You have enough to concentrate on right now. Christine, please tell me what you saw. Christine replied, if you must know, he was at Sylvia's with this tall, lanky, fair-skinned woman wearing a big weed down to her ass. They were all over each other, kissing like two dogs in heat. When he realized I was staring right at them, they vanished. Marianne sighed. Her name is Janice. She is the same woman that came knocking on his door when I spent the night with him at his place. Christine tried to calm her down. Marianne, I told you to watch yourself. I knew it was something about that sneaky two-timing bastard. Marianne regained her composure.
I appreciate your honesty, Christine, but he will regret what he did to me.
What do you mean? Asked Christine.
Trust me, she said as she put the phone down on the receiver.
Christine looked over at Gordon as she hung up the phone.
Later that morning, Dr. Harrison called Marianne and asked her to meet him in his office. She called her mother and asked if she would go with her. Jean met Marianne at the hospital. As they entered Dr. Harrison's office, he shook his head from side to side as he confirmed her condition was worsening. All the test results showed the cancer is rapidly spreading.
I wish it could have been caught sooner, Jean interrupted. She did have a pap smear a few months ago. Shouldn't that have detected it?
Dr. Harrison answered, yes, if Dr. Collins had done a complete pap smear a few months ago, it would have come back abnormal. However, more tests would have been necessary to confirm the disease. Dr. Harrison looked at Marianne. We need to admit you into the hospital right away to start you on chemotherapy immediately. He turned to Mrs. Mantle. If I were you, I will follow up with Dr. Collins in the meantime to see if he somehow mistook her chart with someone else's.
Dr. Harrison admitted Marianne to Mercy Hospital for extensive chemotherapy for 5 days. As she laid in the hospital bed, she reflected on her life. She thought out loud, I thought I finally found peace and happiness for once. I've been a fool all this time thinking that someone could love me, especially someone of Leon's caliber. I always believed in him, even when everyone told me not to. Now look at my life. What's left of it? That bastard has ruined my life, and he's going to pay the ultimate price. I would not be in this position if he had not forced himself on me. If I had a complete exam, this damn disease would have been detected. I would probably be living a normal, healthy life right now. I wonder how many other women he has put in this predicament. All of this bullshit lies he's been feeding me while still romancing Janice. How could I have been so stupid? Marianne became hysterical and screamed out, I'm going to ruin your fucking life like you've ruined mine.
Christine made it to the hospital when the on-call nurse ran into the room. She walked up to the bed to hold her down while the nurse checked the machine to make sure Marianne didn't remove any of her tubes. After the nurse checked her vital signs, she ran to the front desk to call the doctor. Christine stayed in the room to make sure she was okay. Marianne began screaming at Christine,
he ruined my life. I can't take this anymore. Why did he do this to me?
Christine was oblivious to what she was saying. Honey, calm down. Who are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Marianne blurted out, he raped me. That bastard raped me.
Who raped you? She asked.
Marianne sobbed, Dr. Collins raped me. During my visit to his office, I complained about the pains I was having. Instead of giving me an exam, he came into the room and he seduced me.
Christine began to look puzzled.
What happened in that room, Marianne? She started to sob profusely. He was all over me. I couldn't do anything about it. He was supposed to take care of me.
Christine asks, are you saying that you had sex with him in his office the first day you met him?
Yes, she replied. He seduced me. I guess I must have wanted it because I didn't resist him.
Christine grabbed her by the shoulders and shook her. Marianne, listen to me. What he did to you is a felony. I'm going to call the police and report this. He should be behind bars for what he did to you.
Can't you see that this is his way of getting you to fall for him by having complete control over you? I wonder how many other women had the same experience. We need to do something to stop him before someone else get hurt.
Marianne shook her head. No, Christine. Please let me handle this.
Christine shouted, but look what he did to you. Are you going to let him get away with this?
Marianne jumped out of the bed.
Please, Christine, don't tell anyone what I've shared with you. This is between me and you until I figure out what I'm going to do next. Promise me you won't tell this to anyone.
Christine turned to open her mouth as the nurse and doctor walked in. The doctor asked Christine to leave the room so they could get Marianne to calm down. Christine walked outside near the nurse's station. She could not believe what she heard. Christine spoke out loud.
I need to call the police. No, I'll call Mrs. Mantle instead. She'll know what to do. She asked the nurse's aide on duty if she can use the telephone. She tried calling, but no one answered the phone. She walked into the hospital cafeteria to get a drink. An hour later, she walked back to Marianne's room and found her asleep. A few hours later, Jean picked Marianne up from the hospital to bring her home. Once they arrived home, she asked Marianne to quit her job and move in with her and Eric. She added, "You are going to need someone to take care of you." Marianne replied, "Thank you, Mom, but all I have is my job. I can't quit. Besides, I don't want to become a charity case. That's the only thing that I have left that gives me an escape." Jean began cleaning up around the house. "But you're not in a position to work, and you probably won't be for a while." Marianne sat down on the sofa. "So you think I should just give up on life? I should just quit my job, quit school, and live with you and Eric?" "Mom, you're the one who told me not to give up in the first place." Jean replied, "I'm sorry. I just want you to be comfortable. I could be here for you in case you need someone. Here, let me fix you some soup so you can take your medicine. You should go lie down and I'll call you when it's ready." Marianne shouted, "Fix soup? Take your medicine? Go lie down? Is this what my fucking life is gonna be like now?" She jumped up from the sofa to go into the bedroom. As she entered the room, she walked towards the mirror. Her reflection showed her a gruesome picture. She looked as if she aged 10 years. She reached for her makeup bag, but the effects from the chemotherapy made her feel too tired to even lift her hands. She moved closer to the mirror to put on her lipstick. Her eyes became fixed to the glass as she noticed how badly she began to look. "So this is what it has come to," she mumbled to the mirror. "He will pay for this." Marianne stormed out of her room toward the front door. "Where are you going?" her mother yelled. "I have some business to take care of. I'll be back later. Don't wait up for me." Marianne immediately got into her car and drove for 10 minutes to the nearest pawn shop. When she walked in, the owner of the shop suspiciously checked her out. "How can I help you, young lady?" he asked. She replied, "I'm just looking." He walked close and asked, "Looking for anything in particular?" Marianne said, "Yes, I need a handgun." Since he had been robbed twice within a month, he approached her with caution. "What do you need a gun for?" Marianne answered, "I was raped." The store owner seemed startled by her answer. I'm sorry to hear that, young lady, but what good is a gun gonna do for you now?" She yelled, "In case I ever see that bastard again." He replied, "If you're looking to protect yourself, I can't stop you from doing that. But you need to know how to use a gun before you buy one. I have plenty of pistols over there you can handle if you never used a gun before. Walk this way. I have them locked inside the case." As he showed her the handguns, he noticed how young she looked. He continued, "You are going to need an ID to purchase a gun. Are you at least 18 years old?" "Yes, I do have ID. I just turned 21, she said. The store owner said jokingly, "Only 21? Are you sure you're not buying a gun because your boyfriend just broken up with you and you want to get even with him? I get a lot of young people coming in here after having a fight with their mate wanting to purchase a gun. If you're upset about a relationship, little girl, it isn't worth it." She snapped, "I told you I was raped. Now, are you going to sell me the gun or not? I could always go somewhere else to buy one. The store owner needed all the customers he could get. Wait a minute. I have the right one for you." He pulled out a .38 caliber pistol. "I'll sell you this one for $200. Marianne handed him $200 in cash and left the store. She drove to Dr. Collins' office building. Meanwhile, Jean became concerned about Marianne. She picked up the phone to call Christine's house. She answered the phone after approximately 10 rings. Jean sighed in relief. "Whew, Christine, I was about to hang up the phone. I didn't think you were home. Mrs. Mantle, you sound like you're out of breath. Slow down. Is Marianne all right?" Jean stood up and began pacing the floor. "That is why I'm calling you. I thought she went over to your place. She left about 2 hours ago and I haven't seen or heard from her. I'm getting concerned because she stormed out of the door without telling me anything, except don't wait up for her." Christine began to panic. "Oh my God, I bet she's going to see Leon." Jean replied, "Why would she want to see him after everything he's done to her?" Christine took a deep breath. "That's the point." She began telling her everything Marianne told her while in the hospital. Jean instantly hung up the phone and drove to the nearby police station. Once she arrived at the station, she bumped into Detective Donovan. "I want to file a report. My daughter was raped." It was obvious she was emotionally distraught. The detective suggested she have a seat. I can't imagine how difficult this must be for you. When did this happen? A couple of months ago, she answered. Detective Donovan replied, you want us to investigate a crime that happened a couple of months ago? Jean began explaining everything. After listening, he sympathized with her, but explained he needed solid evidence to back up her claim. He added, besides, I can't just go out to arrest someone without having a court order first or not having your daughter here in the station pressing charges. Jean added, you don't understand, officer. That is the reason I'm here. I think my daughter is out looking for him to get even. I'm afraid of what she might do if she finds him. The detective called his assistant over. I need you to file a complaint with Officer Williams. I can't guarantee you anything, but we can check into your story by at least talking to Dr. Collins. Do you have an address for him? She hesitated. No, officer, I'm sorry I don't. Maybe we can look it up in the phone book. As they began searching for Dr. Collins' address, Jean filled out the necessary paperwork. Dr. Collins was finishing up with his last patient. Sharonda and his nurse were filing patients' charts away. Mary Ann was waiting outside of the office building. She had on a baseball cap and sunglasses to camouflage her look. Minutes later, she saw Leon walk out of the elevator to get in his Mercedes-Benz. Her stomach became tied up in knots as she held the gun in her hand. She thought about putting the gun to his head and pulling the trigger. As she looked towards the garage entrance, she saw a vehicle looking for a parking space. After putting the gun down, she glanced over at Leon's vehicle. He was already in the car using his cell phone. He pulled out of the garage to exit with the phone still up to his ear. Marianne tailed him from a distance. After following him for 15 minutes, he drove into a very secluded subdivision with manicured lawns, private pools, and tennis courts. Every mansion on the block was priced in the millions. Marianne gazed at the contemporary houses with 1900-style French columns adjacent to one another while trying not to be noticed. She thought, I wonder where he's going. Dr. Collins drove up to an extravagant mansion located in a cul-de-sac. The Mediterranean tri-level mansion had a surrounding lake with a spectacular circular driveway. As he got out of the car, his wife ran out to greet him. Putting his briefcase down, he extended his arms around her to give her a kiss as they walked inside. Marianne watched from a distance, wondering who she could be. She began to realize, with her own eyes, how conniving and deceitful he really was. Marianne also came to the realization she was not the only person he had been spending time with. All of this time, I thought he was busy with patients. It's obvious he played me for a fool. But we'll see who gets the last laugh, as she chuckled. At the police station, Detective Donovan found Dr. Collins' home address. He advised Mrs. Mantle he was going over to speak with him about her allegations. He turned to his partner. I hope his wife is not home when we pull up in the driveway. Jean overheard Detective Donovan's conversation. Did you say wife? Yes. The information we pulled up on him in the computer indicates he has been married for 10 years. Something else I better let you know, ma'am. This Dr. Collins was charged with a similar incident 5 years ago and was put on probation for a year. There was another incident filed 2 years ago by another young lady, but they didn't have enough evidence to convict him of a crime, so his record is clean. It seems like this Casanova really enjoys preying on young women. Come on, Williams, let's go check this guy out. Jean became emotional. I would like to ride with you if it's all right. Detective Donovan could feel her pain. I have a daughter pretty close to your daughter's age. I can understand the pain you must be feeling. You can come along for the ride, but I'm going to need you to stay in the car, ma'am. Meanwhile, Dr. Collins and his wife walked inside the house. Dr. Collins decided to clean out the pool house. He put it off for months. Joanna went into the kitchen to finish polishing up the silverware. The doorbell rang. Joanna opened the door. We're not buying anything today. There is a sign out front indicating no soliciting on private property. Marianne knew she was being condescending. I'm not here to sell anything. I saw Dr. Collins pull into this driveway, so I thought I'd surprise him since we haven't seen each other in a while. Joanna motioned her to walk into the rich tone foyer. Well, since you know Dr. Collins, why don't you come on in? Are you one of my husband's patients? Did you say your husband? I didn't know he was married. She began to feel betrayed in more ways than one.
I guess you can say I'm more than just an acquaintance, said Marianne.
Joanna became suspicious of her demeanor. She asked, so tell me, how exactly do you know my husband? And how is it that you coincidentally happen to see him driving to the driveway of our home? Because of Marianne's bitterness towards Leon, she could no longer camouflage her feelings.
Well, let me put it this way, Mrs. Whatever your name is. I guess you can say I was your husband's mistress. Joanna exhaled. You bitch! How dare you come into my home and threaten me with your nonsense? Get out of this house right now!
Marianne pulled out the gun she purchased earlier from the pawn shop. She shouted, I'm not leaving here until I see Leon. Your so-called husband has ruined my fucking life. Did you know he has another mistress? Does the name Janice mean anything to you? Are you just that oblivious to account for your husband's whereabouts? Or have you just accepted the fact that he's a promiscuous, slimy old bastard that preys on young women? Joanna threatened to call the police. I don't know what happened between you and my husband, but it seems as if you need some help. Put down that gun right now before you find yourself in more trouble than you're already in. Marianne snapped back. Look, bitch. I'm the only one in charge of giving orders. If you want to test me, touch that telephone, and I will blow your goddamn head off. Have I made myself clear?
Joanna was afraid she could be serious. Yes. Yes, you made yourself clear.
Marianne ordered her to sit down. Where is he? Marianne asked.
He is out back cleaning out the pool house, said Joanna.
Marianne began pacing the floor and noticed the extraordinary collection of traditional ancient African artifacts throughout the room. The enormous variety of exotic antique African musical instruments caught her attention. She began staring at the drums, harp, lute, handheld piano, and many other instruments. She admired the fine art paintings on the wall that reminded her of a museum. Looking around at the array of paintings also reminded her of his art collection at the condo. Marianne began to open up.
Your husband would always invite me over to his condo. I notice he has exquisite taste when it comes to black art. Are you aware that he has a condo on 10th Avenue?
Yes, she said. It's our guest house for out-of-towners.
Marianne laughed.
Well, I guess you can say your husband does a lot of entertaining there for out-of-towners.
Joanna exhaled.
Look, whoever you are, what is it that you want from us?
I'm sorry. I forgot to introduce myself. Where are my manners? My name is Marianne Mantle, and I'm here today because I'm going to kill that fucking bastard for destroying my life. I put my life into his hands when I went into the clinic complaining of severe pains. And instead of giving me an exam, he fucked me right there on the examination table. Now, I've been diagnosed with ovarian cancer because it wasn't detected soon enough to get adequate treatment. Maybe I should consider myself lucky. At least I have 6 months to live.
Mrs. Collins gasped. Oh my God!
The back door from the kitchen opened. They heard footsteps inside. She ordered Mrs. Collins to be quiet. Leon walked into the family room and noticed Marianne standing inside.
What the hell are you doing in my house? He asked.
He noticed she was carrying a handgun. Marianne turned towards him and pointed the gun towards his chest.
Joanna started screaming, No! No, please don't shoot him!
Dr. Collins ordered her to put down the gun, but she was incoherent. Marianne yelled out,
Not once did you mention to me that you were married. You knew how much I loved you.
She began crying.
Why did you lie to me? This entire relationship was a joke to you. I trusted you. I put all of my time and energy into this relationship just to find out everything I thought we had together was based upon lies.
You made me believe I was the only special person in your life.
Why did you do this to me?
Dr. Collins pleaded with Marianne to put the gun down. Please, Marianne, please just put the gun down. She screamed,
You didn't answer my fucking question.
She raised the gun towards his forehead. He blurted out, I'm sorry for everything I've put you through. I never wanted to see anyone get hurt. I swear.
Marianne screamed out, Is that what you told Janice? How many others are there?
He pleaded again for her to put the gun down.
There aren't any others. I told you Janice was an old friend. She responded, Don't you mean old girlfriend?
He looked over at his wife and back at Marianne.
Yes, she's an old girlfriend.
Marianne continued, pointing the gun towards him.
So, while you're in the mood for confessing, why don't you tell your wife how we met? After you finish, you have 3 minutes to say your prayers and repent your sins before I blow your fucking brains out.
He began to panic and pleaded with Marianne, please don't do this. I'm not worth you going to jail over.
I made some mistakes in my life. I'm not perfect.
Shut up, she yelled. I'm sick and tired of you trying to manipulate me. This time, I'm in charge. Now. You better start spilling your damn confessions before I just pull the trigger now. Those are the only options you have. Now you choose. Falling on his knees, Dr. Collins pleaded for his wife's forgiveness as he confessed to everything. Then they heard the sirens from police cars pulling into the driveway. Jean noticed her daughter's car parked outside. They all jumped out of the car and immediately ran to the front door. Jean started screaming out her daughter's name as the officers tried opening the door. Marianne! Marianne! Dr. Collins stood up from the floor and looked over at Marianne. Everyone was silent. The door came crashing down as they broke their way through. Marianne was still standing, pointing the gun at Dr. Collins. Detective Donovan stood at a distance and ordered her to put the gun down. Officer Williams had his gun drawn towards Marianne. Jean tried reasoning with her daughter to put the gun down.
No one has been hurt, honey. Let's just go home.
Marianne stood in silence, thinking she didn't really have a home to go to. Her life was coming to an end. She looked over at her mother in slow motion as she pointed the gun to her head and pulled the trigger. Jean rushed over crying and screaming, my baby! Oh my God, my baby, my baby! Joanna turned her head away in tears while Dr. Collins ran over to feel for a pulse. He announced, she's not breathing. Detective Donovan walked over to Dr. Collins to read him his rights.
Oh my goodness, that was such a great and intense book, Betray Me Not Part 1 by author Linda Stallworth. And I know after reading Part 1, you have to want to know what is Part 2 and Part 3 of this book series all about. And if you would like to purchase these books, you can go to betraymenot.com or you can purchase them at PayPal at betraymenotseries@yahoo.com for $15 each. And remember, people, shipping is free, but because these books are print on demand, please allow at least 15 business days for delivery. Thank you.
I would like to know how you all feel about this situation and why you are letting me know. Could you please like and share this video and subscribe to Geneva's Closet if you haven't already done so right here on YouTube. And you can follow me on Facebook at what? At Geneva's Closet. And you can email me at geneva'scloset22@gmail.com. You all have a fabulous day and I will talk to you later. Bye.